Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Blinking and your brain. What's the connection? Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're glad that you're with us for a new article, Newsworthy Clips, always interesting, and we're updating our vocabulary with three different topics full of interesting terms and a lot of very educational content. I certainly learned a lot this month. This is Naomi, and I'm sitting here in my chair blinking, and we'll find out why in a moment. That's where we're going to begin with our first newsworthy clip today. Now, joining me in the studio to talk about blinking is someone who is blinking at me right now. Hi, Bill.
I'm flirting with you. That's why.
Oh, dear. No, that would be winking.
Yes. Winking, yeah.
There is a difference. Yeah. Maybe you can explain about that.
Well, if I wink, it's a more obvious movement of one of my eyes. I kind of like close it. And my eyebrow comes down. So that's more pronounced. That's winking. It's
right.
Very obvious and very deliberate.
And people sometimes do that to flirt.
Yes, you do that to flirt. So, or get somebody's attention. So, but blinking is something we do tens of thousands of times each day without thinking most of the time. We're blinking without thinking. But there's more to it, as we find out in this news clip.
That is true. Also joining us today is Josh.
I'm blinking as well.
And do you ever notice your blinking habits? Is this something you pay attention to?
Not at all. And I thought it really was just something maybe to clean your eye or something about resting your eyelids. I really had no idea it had a connection to the brain. So excited to be here.
Right. I always thought of it as being something to kind of keep your eyes moist enough that, you know, they don't, that you can still see, that everything still functions properly. But I never really thought about blinking as giving your brain a break, and that's what our title says here.
Yeah, that was really something. I never thought of that, giving your brain a rest. Blink if your brain needs a rest. I thought, come on. How much of a rest am I giving my brain? It's just like a nanosecond. But there's something to this. It's not just giving it a rest like we think of sleep, but it's actually it's breaking up the concentration, which is something that your brain needs.
Mm, okay. Have you ever found yourself blinking when you're tired?
I think now that I think about it, yes. If I'm really exhausted, I probably do blink more than normal.
I know I do, but partly just because my eyes tend to get drier when I'm more tired. I don't really think of it as being a break for my brain, just for my eyes. So this is definitely something new for me. I'm sure all of you will find it interesting too. So we're on page 34 of your Advanced magazine, and we'll start at the top of the page. Blink if your brain needs a rest.
Blink if your brain needs a rest. Why do we spend roughly 10% of our waking hours with our eyes closed, blinking far more often than is actually necessary? Scientists have pried open the answer to this mystery, finding that the human brain uses that tiny moment of shut-eye to power down. The mental break can last anywhere from a split second to a few seconds before attention is fully restored. Researchers from Japan's Osaka University found. During that time, scans that track the ebb and flow of blood within the brain revealed that regions associated with paying close attention momentarily go offline. And in the brief break in attention, brain regions collectively identified as the default mode network power up.
So we begin our newsworthy clips for today, July 22nd, with a question, don't we, Josh?
We ask, why do we spend 10% of our waking hours with our eyes closed? And at first, when you read this, you think maybe, wait, if my eyes are closed, I'm asleep. But no, I'm awake. These are my waking hours. What am I doing? You are blinking during that time.
Right. And who knew that it was this much of the time? 10%, it's a small fraction, but it's a lot of time to have your eyes closed in a day.
Sure. I mean, what are we awake? If you're awake 16 hours a day, then that's, 1.6 hours. That's more than an hour and a half that you are walking around with your eyes closed. Of course, it's broken up into small segments. But we see here after the dash, blinking far more often than is actually necessary.
Right. And that caught my attention because it's one thing to say we blink a lot, but if it's more than we actually need to, that's what kind of is intriguing about this.
Yeah, why? That's the question. Why are we doing this? Naomi, you had said that you thought it was about moistening the eyes. Maybe Josh said that. But, that's what I thought too. So why are we doing it more than necessary?
Right. Well, scientists have pried open the answer to this mystery. And I thought that was interesting wording.
Yeah, it's almost something like you think of opening an oyster. You pry open something that's hard. But we also say your eyes sometimes can be so tightly shut in the morning after a long sleep. You have to pry them open them very carefully, almost struggle to open them.
That's true. I used to occasionally stay over at family friends' homes. And their child was about 5 years old, and in the morning she wanted me to wake up. So she'd come down to the couch and pry open my eyes with her little fingers. Yes. It was painful.
Oh, my goodness.
But in this case, they are prying open the answer to the mystery, and they found a very interesting discovery.
Yeah, they're finding that the human brain uses that little moment, that brief moment of blinking. They call it shut-eye. To power down.
Okay. Now, first of all, when we usually say shut eye, we don't just mean closing your eyes.
No. We say, I'm going to get some shut eye. And that means I'm going to go to sleep for maybe a couple of hours, maybe all night.
Okay. And when we say that this gives us a chance to power down.
That's a line we use mostly with our technology. When you're powering down your cell phone or your computer means to turn the power off. And in this case, scientists have discovered that quick second or second and a half that it takes for you to blink, your brain is literally taking a break or powering down.
Surprise, surprise. Blinking actually gives your brain a rest. And we go on in the next paragraph to say that this mental break can really vary in length.
Yeah, it can be very short, a split second, which is a fraction. We use split second to describe a fraction of a second. It could be a tenth, a hundredth, any small part of a second. Two, a few seconds before attention is fully restored.
Right. I'm sort of trying it right now as we're reading. I'm like, I find myself blinking and closing my eyes for a couple of seconds and then opening them and trying to understand the article again more clearly. So you can try it too, listeners, if you want. Try blinking as you read and see if it keeps you sharp.
Are you feeling more refreshed, Naomi, with every blink?
Actually, a little bit. Well, this is according to researchers from Japan's Osaka University. And so during that time, what exactly is going on here?
Well, they looked at the brain and they said they scanned the track of the ebb and flow of the blood within the brain. So they, when you do a scan of something, it's now using MRI, magnetic resonance imaging, to take a computer image of the brain and looking at the blood flow. And the ebb and the flow is the phrase that you there at line 11, which is a phrase we often use with the tides, the ebb
right.
and flow of the oceans.
That's exactly right. So sometimes the tide is high and sometimes it's very low. That's the ebb and the flow. But your blood does it too, apparently, in your brain. And what did those scans of this ebb and flow of the blood reveal?
Well, in the part of the brain, the region associated with paying close attention, it momentarily goes offline. So that's interesting. They notice this one part of the brain kind of shuts down temporarily.
Right. And again, it sort of sounds like technological terminology to say it goes offline.
Just think of like maybe you're watching a video on your computer at home and just for a second or two, it just stops. The transmission stops. The streaming stops. Maybe that's what our brains are like at that moment.
And what happens during that quick stop, the pause?
Well, it says in that brief break of attention, brain regions collectively identified as the default mode network which is a new phrase for me. We have capitals there on each of the phrases, so it's an important phrase we'll talk a little bit more about. They power up during that brief break.
Right. So these regions, we say they are collectively identified as. And when we talk about something collectively, we mean as a group, like all together, this group of places is called the default mode network. And that powers up, going again to this technology phrasing of talking about your brain like you would a computer.
Right.
Suddenly it's turning on again. So what exactly is this default mode network? Let's find out in our next reading, beginning on line 17 of the left-hand column on page 34.
The default mode network is the brain's idle setting. In times when our attention is not required, this far-flung cluster of brain regions comes alive, and our thoughts wander freely. In idle mode, however, our thoughts seldom stray far from home. Most of us take between 15 and 20 such moments of downtime per minute, and scientists have observed that most blinking takes place near or at the point of an implicit stop. While reading or listening to another person, that generally comes at the end of a sentence. While watching a movie, for instance, we're most likely to blink when an actor turns to leave the scene, or when the camera shifts to follow the dialogue.
Okay, so what exactly is this default mode network?
Okay, the first sentence says, that is the brain's idle setting. So just think of like a car when we have the engine turned on and but it's parked, the engine is still on. You're not accelerating, you're not hitting the gas, it's just idling. Or equipment, a computer that is just sitting there, it's not doing anything, but it is on, that's just idling.
Right, that term is a little bit confusing always to me, because you can also talk about someone as being idle. And if you call someone idle, it means that they're lazy, they're not doing anything. But if you call the state of a piece of equipment idle, it's idling, then you just mean, well, kind of the same thing, except it's not negative at all. You're just saying it's on, but it's not really doing anything at this point in time. So when your brain is on but not working, this is the default mode network, so to speak.
That's right. And in times when our attention is not required, this far-flung cluster of brain regions, it says, comes alive.
Okay. So first of all, far-flung.
Well, that just means from many different places. You could have a group of people that are spread out all across the country, and they are far-flung in different parts of that region. And in this case, the parts of our brain, these clusters come from different regions and areas of your brain.
Okay. So a cluster of something is like a group often held together kind of loosely. I think of, for example, a cluster of grapes. So they're together, but they're not, you know, stuck exactly together. They're just grouped together. So this part of our brain, these different regions come alive and our thoughts wander freely. So when our attention is not really needed to be fully engaged, our thoughts kind of wander. But what happens in this case?
Well, in the idle mode, our thoughts, we don't go too far away from what we might have been working on at that time, too far away from what we might have been talking about or reading. It says seldom stray far from home.
Right. So there's a difference between letting your brain take a break and think about other things and going into this idle mode where it sort of just shuts down very, very briefly.
That's right. It says it seldom strays far from home, where you're staying focused on those thoughts. And I'm wondering if people have stronger default mode networks than others.
Mm.
Are people prone to daydreaming and thinking far-flung thoughts versus people who can just stay focused on one task?
Yeah, I wonder about that too. I know some people are very, very prone to, they're likely to let their thoughts go all over the place. They imagine all kinds of things and try different things in their minds. And other people just sort of stay a little more on task, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I look at this, it's kind of like just a pause in thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just a little bit of a pause for people. You know, one of the things is that people have a limit on their attention span.
Right.
There's only so much information we can take in.
But I think, you know, we have a habit these days of replacing what we're doing with something else rather than just pausing. You know, we don't stop and do nothing. We stop and do something else.
That's right. That's right. Especially with gadgets, with phones. We've always got this thing with us that we can pump more information into us. So we never really let our brain get to that idle point.
Right.
We are the multitasking generation.
So it sounds like, though, that our brain actually does better when it really does just shut down for a very brief moment, which makes me wonder if this is a good habit for us to try to develop in life, to just occasionally take a moment to just stop completely, not to do something fun or do something else, but to just do nothing.
It's a good point, Naomi. You don't always have to be doing something. You don't always have to be looking at something, accessing information.
Right. Well, as we continue on the right-hand column, we see that most of us do have these downtime moments.
That's right. Between 15 and 20 such moments, it says, of downtime per minute. So if you want to start counting your blinks from, oh, right now, see if you're in that average span of 15 to 20 little breaks of time. And scientists observe that most blinking takes place at an interesting place.
Okay, so we're kind of analyzing just exactly how often we blink. It's more than I thought, but also scientists say, when does it happen exactly?
It happens near or at the point of an implicit stop. And implicit just means something that is not directly or exactly stated, but is something that is understood, you know, or conveyed in a subtle way.
Right, almost like it makes sense to to take a break here because I realized who walked in the room or my TV program ended or I just finished this email. It's almost like your brain understands how content and information is received and where it makes sense to take a break.
Good. Now, that word implicit is a little bit confusing. The opposite is explicit. If a meaning of something is explicit, it means it's very, very obvious and clear. But if it's implicit, you kind of have to pay attention to catch it. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if I tell Bill something explicitly, I might say, I'm really tired today. Mm. But if I tell him something implicitly, I might say, well, I'm okay. And he has to kind of understand that there's something else going on there.
Bill's not good at that.
I can get what she implied.
Right. There it is. Imply. Good. Being the verb of this.
Yeah.
So I like the examples that they give. I think this is really interesting to consider if we're watching a movie, for example.
Right. When we're watching a movie, it most likely, this is something, to blink when an actor turns to leave the scene or the camera moves to something else.
Right. So these natural shifts, the first example, of course, was a person ends their sentence. In a movie, someone turns, you know, something changes, a door opens, something happens, and you're more likely to blink at that time.
I found that really interesting. It's almost like your brain is playing a movie all day long, and it knows the natural breaks of the content.
Mm-hmm. Almost like tiny little mini chapters in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, little break. It's time again. Okay, well, let's learn a little more about this study in our final reading beginning on line 13.
The study, published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academies of Science, studied 20 healthy young subjects in a brain scanner as they watched best bits, snippets, from the British comedy Mr. Bean. Sure enough, when subjects blinked, the researchers detected a momentary stand-down within the brain's visual cortex and somatosensory cortex, both involved with processing visual stimuli, and in areas that govern attention.
So this study that we've been talking about was published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academies of Science. And who exactly did this study study?
Well, they looked at 20 young, healthy subjects, it says, in a brain scanner while they were watching television.
Right. So they put healthy young people, in other words, they didn't want people who probably already had eye problems or who, you know, might, whatever, have other health issues that could affect what was going on here. They wanted people who were as sort of pure for the study as possible.
Right. And I love the material that they watched here, Naomi. They watched best bits or the best parts or snippets, short little parts from the British comedy Mr. Bean.
Are you a fan of Mr. Bean?
Yeah, I like Mr. Bean. Yeah, it's really pretty funny. How about you?
I enjoy him if I'm in the right mood. Sometimes it's a little too silly for me, but he's pretty funny. He has a way of finding the humor in very normal situations.
Right, and lots of physical comedy, right?
Right, and yeah. A lot of it doesn't involve much language, which I think is also fun because it's a very universal kind of funny. If you're trying to choose something to watch with a group of friends and you don't all speak the same language, Mr. Bean might be a good bet. So it's the kind of humor that most people will get, and they were sitting there and their brains were being scanned while they're watching it. And what exactly happened?
Well, we see here this next paragraph starts out with sure enough. And I just actually want to stop right there and explain sure enough. To no surprise, that's what that means. It was not a surprise. Then what happened?
Right. So we basically could have predicted this. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to check. Are we right about this? Mm-hmm. And sure enough, we were right.
Right. When the students blinked, the researchers detected a momentary stand down within the brain's visual cortex.
Okay. This is an interesting way to put it again. They detected this occurrence. If you detect something, you find it out, you uncover it, you discover it. And a momentary stand down.
I almost think of a military if they're up against the enemy and then they take a break and back away from the enemy. They're in a stand down position. And so they're not as alert or as ready as they were. And that's exactly what happens to your brain. It kind of gets off that state of alertness and relaxes a bit. And this happens, it says, within the brain's visual cortex and somatosensory cortex.
Okay. And can we explain a little bit more about those?
Well, you know, it's funny. We actually had done a couple of articles here about vision in the last couple of months, and we did talk a lot about the visual cortex. That's the part of the brain that actually takes information and it turns it into images that the brain understands.
Right. And we talked about seeing without sight, how mm-hmm. people who are visually impaired can sometimes still train this part of their brain.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were able to just listen to sound waves and turn that into an image. And then we move into the next one, the somatosensory cortex. That's a specialized term, and it's an area of the brain that processes input from various systems in the body responsible for touch.
Hmm.
Not just sight, but touch.
Okay, so maybe the sensation of your eye closing does something as well? It's kind of interesting.
It is.
Yeah, I think, you know, it can, it's interesting how the senses do work together, and, you know, You can smell something while you're looking at something, and that will actually make a process in your brain. Likewise, maybe right. if you have a touch, you know, with your blinking, that affects your thinking.
Yeah, well, and according to this, these are both involved with processing visual stimuli. So in other words, when you see something, both of these parts of your brain, they spring into action. They start responding. They do something.
Yeah, well, they go into action and they work in the areas that govern attention.
So the momentary stand down also occurred in those areas that govern attention. What does that mean, Josh?
Govern means to be in charge of, to be responsible for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you take away from all this? What's your impressions of this article? Do you feel like you need to start blinking more or paying attention? Or?
I think I'm going to stop having staring contests because those are exhausting. And now we know why.
You know, as I was preparing for this, I was actually now much more conscious of my blinking and realizing that blinking might actually be helpful for me. It might actually help me process things better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it made me wonder, too, if I am a little tired or a little distracted, maybe it's a good idea to sort of blink a few times and just try to get a new perspective, give my brain a little break, a little recharge to try to tackle what's going on.
I'd prefer a nap.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Do you ever close your eyes for like 2 or 3 seconds while you're like conversing with somebody or listening to someone?
Not usually.
Really? Oh, okay. I've known people that have done that. I will do it once in a while. I will close my eyes, not blink, but for maybe 2 seconds or so. Mm.
Do you remember Encyclopedia Brown? Mm-hmm. That's how he solved all of his cases.
That's true. That's a good book recommendation for all of you. If you want a fun read, you can look up Encyclopedia Brown. Very, very entertaining books for young adults. Now, there is one more thing on page 34 that I think is interesting. As we're talking about blinking and how it connects to our brains, we discover that there's another side to all of this.
Right. There's a sidebar up there at the top of page 34, the top of the right column, blinking and lying. And it says, though the current study didn't examine the relationship between blinking and deception, others have.
Okay. Deception just being when you mislead someone, you lie to them or you are dishonest with them about something. And other studies have covered this topic. Apparently, there is a relationship between blinking and lying. Josh, how do we continue?
Well, it says, while telling a lie, liars have been found to blink less. In the seconds after telling a lie, however, the liar will blink more frequently than a truth teller.
Very, very fascinating. So, while I am lying to you,
I'm going to keep my eyes wide open.
Yeah, apparently. I won't hardly blink at all. But afterwards, suddenly I'm in a little flurry of blinking. I'm blinking extra. So perhaps what?
It explains it here. Why, maybe. Perhaps the resulting downtime is necessary for the liar to consider whether the deceived person was buying or believing the fib, the lie.
Mm.
Or whether it was worth telling it in the first place.
Which it probably wasn't.
Right, right. So they were trying to – this is a physical reaction to figuring out whether they got away with lying or not.
Okay. So if someone is sharing something with you and you're not sure whether to believe them, maybe after they finish talking, pay attention to see if they seem to be blinking an unusual amount.
I just had a thought. You know, Josh has got 2 young boys. And, you know, one of the parts of being a parent is, you know – finding out from little kids, when I was a little boy, I always would get in trouble,
right.
And then I would blame my brother. And, you know, this might be something Josh might be able to, like, utilize as a father.
Did you really wash your hands, Luke? I'll let you know how many blinks I
watch
got
those blinks.
When he tells me the answer.
Okay. Maybe you can post the results on our Facebook page of your own individual study. Friends, let us know your thoughts as well. We always love to hear from you. And please come back tomorrow for another newsworthy clip. We'll see you then.